Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Galvanize the team. They keep on referencing it. But, man, they were playing defensive first basketball last night. When the Warriors are doing that, there's a 99% chance they're going to win that game.
Yeah, they had a lot of joy last night, I thought. The only part that I was just a little worried multiple times when Steph fell to the ground. I'm not going to lie. Like, I legitimately had my entire stomach fall down below my knees. Like, I really got nervous.
When he caught that edge of Lacob, he really did. I mean, he got up a little slowly. Everything was fine. He stayed in the game. It happened early in the game. But he hits the deck. It feels like not at all in a game, or it's a game where he's picking himself up off the ground over and over and over again. It just goes to show you, as good as everything is, all of this is held together by the thinnest of threads.
Delicate.
Oh, it is. As strong as the Warriors look, it is a little delicate. I got a guy here on the text line who was talking to the last show saying, how come nobody said anything about Steph's bloody knee? Did he have a bloody knee last night?
Yeah.
Was there a little dot of blood on there?
There was a little bit, but it was, I guess, below the whatever you would call them, the leg warmers. I'm not even sure if they're knee pads that he wears, but all the kids wear them now because Steph wears them. You know that.
Sure. Well, look, if you're on the ground as much as him, go ahead and protect the stems. That's no problem there. Some other things that I just like seeing the Warriors do is meaning a defensive effort with a legitimate defensive effort. I know the Pacers weren't very good last night offensively. Defensively, they were locked in. The Pacers were playing the Warriors about as hard as anybody's played the Warriors all year. They were closing out on shooters. They were frustrating passing lanes. They had active hands all over the place. The Pacers put up a legit defensive effort in that game, but the Warriors met them. And then their talent just took over. And look, it was a day where, a night, I should say, where not one guy really stood out and led the way. It's DeMarcus Cousins finishing as the team's leading scorer. I tell you, looking at Bogut's debut at home and the ovation that he got and what he's going to mean to this team going forward, I don't know how much he's going to play. I don't know how much he really needs to play a very important role, because if nothing else, if Andrew Bogut being in the rearview mirror of DeMarcus Cousins gets a more focused DeMarcus Cousins for Steve Kerr every night, Bogut serves his purpose right there.
Yeah, that's a good point. The only issue I got with DeMarcus, though, Damon, is this the whining. He whines after every single play. The guy's super talented. I don't know if he'll ever become the same player he was pre-injury. Like, everybody's waiting for, well, when he gets healthy. Some guys just don't recover at 340 pounds. You know, they just don't ever get that spring back in their step. It's just the whining and the crying after every possession, whether it's defensively or offensively, when he gets a negative call. It is a little nauseating for me.
Yeah, and I don't like it either. I don't like the tone it sets for a guy like Draymond who might follow the leader.
Great point.
But at the same time, it's part of him. It's who he is. It's probably way too late to change those tiger stripes now on him. And you just got to deal with it. Remember when they brought him aboard, I thought DeMarcus Cousins for about 30, 40 games is a great idea. DeMarcus Cousins for a 2 or 3 year deal. I think no. I mean, even as good as he is looking and playing, and he gives the Warriors options at the center position that I've never seen them really be able to play with. This guy, he destroyed the Pacers inside this season. You can see how good he is in certain matchups and in certain games. 19 points, a team high last night. It was a night where I really don't want to talk about what he doesn't do from an attitude standpoint, because what he does do is he's 8 rebounds a night, guaranteed. He's about 2 blocks and a steal a night. And he is feathery around the rim. He is incredibly skilled when he is locked in. And I don't know if he'll ever be the smiling on the inside when a whistle goes against him guy, but whatever. if he has to play angry, if that's the best DeMarcus you're going to get, then get angry. Just don't get techs. That's
no,
it.
I hear you.
Just draw the line at the technical foul.
Dame, maybe I'm the only one thinking this way, but the first quarter, the way the Pacers were playing was so physical, and I thought that the Warriors were a little out of rhythm. They couldn't find their jumper. I just keep going back to this. I have a feeling that DeMarcus is best utilized for this team coming off the bench. And that's not a knock on him. There's some great players to come off the bench. I just think that second unit lacks that punch. It lacks that scoring threat. I think it spaces it a little better. My bigger takeaway is I want to see Steph, Klay, and Durant get going early in games. Not try to find their rhythm late in the second quarter and then start chasing buckets because it gets them all out of whack.
Well, and I want Curry taking shots early in the fourth. Corner. He was very passive. Durant was passive last night. Klay's coming out. He misses his first six shots. Warriors were way, way, way off in the first quarter, but they held the Pacers to 19 points, 24 points, and then 19 points again in the first three quarters of that game. I didn't know if the Pacers were going to reach 80 points last night at one point. I mean, midway through the third, I was thinking, I don't know if they're going to get there. And that is really just that's all the Warriors need to do. That's it. What do the Warriors need to do? They come out and put an honest defensive effort on the court. That's a game they're winning 95% of the time. Then you start knocking down shots. Now you're going to win 99% of the time, and it feels good again.
You know, the guy that we fell in love with last year, who we thought was Defensive Player of the Year, at least a candidate, not Draymond. It was Kevin Durant. Like, we're starting to see flashes of that guy. And I know he's had a rough couple of days as far as his personal situation going. But to see him blocking shots at the rim, that changes this defense. And then you sprinkle in Andre Iguodala off the bench, who somebody I've crucified the guy. I'll be honest with you. I've been really mean to Andre Iguodala. But this year has been his best season in the last three.
It feels he looks bouncy again.
Yes.
He looks young again. He's moving so well again. And I don't know if it's – I mean, he showed his value in the postseason, not only showing up and playing well, but in his absence you saw the value that he brought to the team, because you're probably not looking at a Game 7 in Houston if Andre doesn't get hurt in Game 5. But at the same time, he mailed in last regular season. And he has picks and chooses his moments this season, but you can see the payoff coming. Like he promised, if I give you less today, it means I can give you more tomorrow. And tomorrow is what really matters. And it looks like crazy like a fox, Andre Iguodala knows his body better than we do and looks tuned up and ready to go and young and bouncy and fresh at the right time when they need him the most. We got an awful lot for you today. Tom Izzo, never change for us, okay? We're going to get into what you did and didn't do in the NCAA tournament. We're going to talk about what's gone on in this tournament. Cinderella is, well, let's just say she got an invitation to the dance. I don't know if she's here yet, but we have sent one out in the mail. We'll see if Cinderella really does show up. It has been a fun tournament so far, but we are now halfway through day two, and I don't know if we have a signature moment, which means it's not the best start to any NCAA tournament I've ever seen, but you never know when the magic is going to happen. If it happens today, we will let you know. We're going to go over some old NCAA tournament magic. We'll talk to, obviously, Steve Kerr about some NCAA tournament memories. Only 11 more Warrior games this season, and two of the final six come up at Oracle this weekend. Giants opening day is just 6 days away. This is a good time. This is a fun, fun time of the year. And I'm looking forward to talking to you today at 888-957-9570. Warriors really locked in and looked good last night. That's important. Meanwhile, the San Francisco Giants feel like they're about to walk into a knife fight with a toothpick. And I don't know how well that's going to go, even if everything goes as well as it could possibly go. What might this team actually be able to do? It feels like not much. Stay tuned. We got so much coming up. The one and only Gianna Franco has her first update on this show this afternoon. Hello, Gianna.
Now back to the Dame and Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back to the Dame and Bruce Show. Friday afternoon, Friday of the NCAA tournament, Friday after the Golden State Warriors decided to throw a little block party at Oracle Arena last night. It was a fun, fun night of defense. I mean, you got a little something from everybody. Kevin Durant setting the tone early.
Joseph drifted Curry's through a screen. Comes all the way. Ball knocked away by Curry. Batted in the air by Cousins. Grabbed out of the air by Miles Turner. He'll feed inside. Thaddeus Young. A dunk knocked away from behind by KD.
It was just straight up slap. I mean, it was beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. DeMarcus got involved.
Ball, Bogdanovich goes in and swatted away that time by Cousins. And
Klay Thompson decided to go full.
No.
The defensive board for Indiana. Long lead out to Evans. Goes up. Rejected by Klay.
No.
Warriors with their fifth block shot. Cousins coming the other way.
No.
Cousins pass to Klay. Inside. Left hand finish. Good.
No.
Doing it on both ends. That's what Klay Thompson does.
No.
31-27. Indiana wants a timeout, and Oracle is rocking.
No.
I tell you, it was rocking last night. It was Klay Thompson. Last game was saying the team wasn't feeling the energy, maybe wasn't giving the energy. It's like it's all a symbiotic relationship, but everything was on point last night. It really felt like everyone went in there to do the best they could, to make a little noise, to give the energy, the Bogut tribute video, the Bogut checking into the game, standing ovation, Steph Curry dancing all night long. Like, it was a good, fun night of basketball. The Butcher Boy, Joe Shasky, along with us here today. And it really was. It was a night where when defense sets the tone, they're almost unbeatable.
When we've been obsessing about every movement, every single home. Did you see his body language? Did you see Kevin Durant? He just clapped Steph Curry on the butt. Oh my gosh. Here's my article. Click here. Like it's just out of control. But if you look at where they're at the right spot at the right time of the year in a perfect position to go for the three sweep. You know, like that's what we want. The three-peat. They're 49-22. They're going to face the Clippers. Can you name three Clippers?
Well, I'm not going to name three Clippers before I tell you that they're 11 games left in their season. They go 11-0. They're at the 60-win mark, which would be amazing considering how up and down we have determined this season has been. I mean, we have been analyzing and dissecting what's right and wrong with the Golden State Warriors. I mean, Tim Kawakami basically starts The Athletic every day with a breathless recap of rotations and minutes. And it's just, oh my God, do you think the Warriors can win with Kevon Looney playing 16 minutes instead of 22 minutes? And just like, dude, it doesn't. None of this matters if the team's playing defense. Minutes be damned. Rotations be damned. If people are locked in, slapping the floor, playing a little defense, you could put me out there for 16 minutes, and it probably really doesn't matter.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. When Kevin Durant starts to get focused, it's incredible how different the defense looks. Like, for me, we know Draymond's going to give max effort. We know Klay Thompson's going to give max effort. Who's going to be that other guy that's going to step up and protect the rim? And when Kevin Durant wants to protect the rim, he's as good as anybody out there. I know he's skinny, but he times those blocks so well, and he uses his offhand. He blocks with the left hand as well as he does with the right hand. I love watching Durant play defense when he cares. He's a special player. I hope people recognize that.
From Anthony Slater last night, believe it or not, the Warriors are a league best 6.4 block shots per game this season. Wouldn't even know that, haven't talked about it. And they haven't had a very good defensive year, but they're still leading the league in block shots per game this season. They're doing so by committee without a traditional dominant big man really doing it. And just think about it. They have more blocks than any other team, yet they don't have an individual player in the top 27 in blocks league-wide. Their top shot blocker is Kevin Durant, who's 28th in the league in shot blocked right now. So it's basically strength in length. And the Warriors have long arms and sharp defensive minds all over the roster. That's Anthony Slater. I'll tell you, one of the guys who sets the tone for this at all times is Draymond Green. Like, if the Warriors are playing considerably noticeable defense, you can be sure he's in the middle of it. And all that started for Draymond in his 4 years in East Lansing when he had one of the toughest coaches in America forging one of the toughest players in the NBA, because this isn't about safe space and making sure your kid's comfortable at all times. High-level college athletics are a proving ground of embarrassment that kids have to go through. And look, if you're an athlete, you can't be – there's no such thing as you might get embarrassed today. You take that bet every single time you take the court. You could get dunked on. You could get run off the court. You could get embarrassed. You could get out-athleted all over the place. You could get out-smarted. You could look stupid. With the kid from the other night, had a chance to be a hero in March. He airballs it by 3 feet, and that's the last you'll ever hear of him. You know, I mean, that's just the way – major college athletics go, and watching people try to paint Tom Izzo into a modern Woody Hayes who is on the edge of player abuse is just an indicator that you done gone soft, society. And let me tell you, maybe that doesn't work here in the timeout capital of the world on the West Coast. And maybe this isn't a new age way to have your kids go to a private school and catered to on the East Coast. These kids in the Midwest are built tougher. They're built to be yelled at. They're built to be coached. And Tom Izzo goes and finds kids who fit that mold to join his program, which is why they're at least in the Sweet 16 every single time you look up during the tournament. Tougher than you is what he coaches. Tougher than the kids you're coaching is why Tom Izzo gets to go to Springfield. Or no, is he already there? Excuse me. Is he a Hall of Fame coach? He will be. I got a guy who said, Damon, I knew last night that you were going to drool all over the Izzo situation because you love Bobby Knight and others berating kids. Look, I don't like berating kids unless a kid needs a talking to, which, you know, had Tom Izzo come at a kid like that for your local neighborhood round robin game, all right, maybe you'd have a something to talk about. This is the first round of the NCAA tournament. Win or die. There is no, let's get better and try to come back and get it right tomorrow. It's now or never time. And Tom Izzo dropped some science on everybody in the press conference afterwards.
You know, there were some things Aaron didn't do a very good job of. And yet, you know what? Like happened. I did get after him, and he did respond, and he did make a couple big buckets, and he did make some big free throws. But that's not good enough. This is one-and-done time, you know? The my bads are out the window. If they're my bads because that team played better or that guy played better, if it's my bad because I decided to jog back instead of sprint back, then it is your bad, and you're going to hear about it.
I love this thing.
I mean, come on. If that rubs you the wrong way, you are a product of Safe Space America. You don't ever go outside. Don't ever look to go into a situation that I don't think you're able to respond to. I mean, really, this is how tough kids get raised.
No, this is the essence of coaching. Not everyone can be communicated in one template fashion. There is a different way to connect with people, whether you're a sales manager, whether you're a coach, whether you're a teacher. You realize that people are different, and some people need a swift kick in the pants every now and then, verbally, and some people need a pat on the back. And in this particular situation, when he's again, it's the playoffs for them. It's a one-and-done situation. He's talking to a freshman, not a four-year senior. The guy challenged him. Like, there's lots of layers to this. This is just you look at the snapshot photo and people instantly jump to conclusions without the context. The context is this is a freshman who challenged him back. He didn't touch him. Okay. He yelled at him. That's part of coaching. You yell to get the best out of certain players. Like, I have no problem with this. And you know what you're going to see this? You're going to see this in every single WCAL playoff game, basketball game, practice that you're going to see up and down this coast. This is standard operating procedure from a head coach, in my opinion.
This only rubs people the wrong way who just got here or never played or were coached in anything.
Preach.
That's who this rubs the wrong way. Now, sadly, an awful lot of the people who cover sports these days really don't understand sports very much from a competitive standpoint, from an I did it standpoint. And I'm not here to tell you that I was a professional athlete in my other life or anything like that. But I've been on the wrong side of coaches getting chewed out. I'm going to ask Steve Kerr, what coach aired him out the most when he joins us live at 5 today. I think it's going to be pretty interesting. But for all the newspaper people who are there clutching their pearls after Tom Izzo yelled at a kid, Izzo had a little message for those pearl clutchers too.
I get a kick out of you guys. Get after somebody because you're trying to hold them accountable. I don't know what kind of business you're in, but I'll tell you what, if I was the head of a newspaper and you didn't do your job, you'd be held accountable. It's the way it is.
Hashtag Tom Izzo forever.
Damon, this is the part that kills me. There's so many different ways to yell, right? You can yell positively. You can yell, hey, don't ever do that again because of X, Y, and Z. Or you could just yell to yell. That didn't look like a yell-to-yell type of a moment. Like, there was a purpose behind him explaining that to that kid. And you know what? I guarantee that kid never makes that mistake ever again. At any facet in his life, he's going to carry that around forever.
There's no lollygag.
Thank you.
There's no lollygagging in the NCAA tournament. Mark Spears, speaking of the NCAA tournament, is down in San Jose right now. He's a senior NBA writer for ESPN's The Undefeated, but that's not going to stop him from covering some great hoops in our backyard. Just dropping down to college to check out the boys. How you doing today in San Jose? What's the vibe down there like? Does it feel like, what do we got here? We got Oregon up 10 on Wisconsin right now. Does it feel like a home game for the Ducks?
It felt like a home game for them, and it also felt like one for UC Irvine, man. West Coast representing. Looks like Oregon's going to pull this out. But, man, to go back to what you guys were saying again about the Michigan State thing, like, I truly feel like unless you're in that huddle, like, how can you really criticize what's going on? You know, I mean, I played college basketball. I didn't play in the NBA, and I've seen a lot worse than that. I mean, is it just me or just people just so sensitive now about any kind of constructive criticism? I mean, you're trying to win an NCAA tournament game.
Right. It's like this is not happening in the vacuum of everything's perfect. The pressure of a major sporting event is on everybody in these moments. And they want everyone to react like it's a controlled laboratory environment.
Yeah. This isn't a certificate of participation and no team loses. I mean, this is high stakes, man. When you see Avery Johnson, he lost in the first round of the NIT, and he lost his job. You know, so I don't know, man. I don't get it. I just think that when you have a coach like Tom Izzo, who's got a great reputation, and Draymond fought for him on social media today, I think we should give him the benefit of the doubt. And it also sounded like maybe the player was saying something that he should have shut up and listened to what the coach had to say, too.
Amen. Mark Spears, senior NBA writer, ESPN's The Undefeated. Last night, speaking of senior NBA, I thought there was some varsity defense being played by the Golden State Warriors. The block party was thrown. They were in passing lanes. They weren't shooting very well, and it really didn't matter because they were locked in. And if it was the loss against the Suns that woke them up, it was worth having gone through it, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, this is a team that looks like, all right, time to wake up and lock in this number one seed. They know Denver's on their back. Denver's not going away. Now, the schedule, the way it looks, is favorable for the Warriors the rest of the way, but that really doesn't mean anything. You still have to play the game, and I'm sure if Denver somehow were to make it to the West Finals, they don't want to start in a mile high playing in that altitude either. So, yeah, I mean, I expect the Warriors to step it up. I know it's could probably be a little fatiguing having a game last night and then playing Saturday and Sunday. But I could get the sense ever since that Phoenix game, which perhaps they needed that loss, there's been more of a sense of purpose and not so much lollygagging. Like even the Spurs loss wasn't a bad loss.
Agreed.
Mark, what do you think of the addition of Andrew Bogut? And do you think that that's kind of motivating DeMarcus Cousins? Because it seems like he's played some really good basketball after missing a couple games with the ankle injury.
Yeah, but I thought he was playing well before then. You know, he had a great game in Houston. I think he's been energized by the media, by us, us telling him that he's not playing any defense, and a report saying how to maybe the Warriors are better without him. You know, those kind of things I think are fueling him, and then also I think another thing fueling him is the rust is off now. The way he's kicking the ball up the floor, the way he's passing, the way he's dunking. Like, he's doing some things now that I didn't see for a couple weeks. And so it appears to be that he's truly healthy, Russ is off, and this is the guy that we saw was an all-star for a couple years. And the fact that no one scored under over 20, but everybody that was a star did something, and they still won in the manner they did, was a great sign.
What's amazing, Mark, is what a delicate, almost pirouetting, spinning, B-button crushing ballerina he is in the low post. Like, this guy has got three spin moves and beautiful English off the glass. Like, I you look at DeMarcus and you think, all right, well, this guy's going to be bull in a china shop strong. That's not it at all. He's beautiful out there at times.
He's like Fred Flintstone, right?
Tippy toes.
Had a twinkle toes. I mean, a friend of mine went to a Warriors game the other day that hadn't been to one this season. Was like, wow. I didn't realize that DeMarcus is that big. Like, and you've seen him, Dane. He's a huge human being, man. He's a huge, huge guy. So to see somebody like that skilled, somebody that can move the way he does, I mean, it's truly amazing. He's a better athlete than we probably give him credit for.
Mark, what do you make of Andre Iguodala's resurgence this year? I mean, he's a guy who at times just he didn't have the spring nor the confidence in his shot. And I'm noticing that with him playing a lot better this year, the rest of the defense has looked a lot better. What do you make from his resurgence, and what do you credit that to?
I was starting to make him a Robert Horry kind of guy where you just see him in the playoffs. But that has certainly changed, and I think it's health. Being healthy, getting the rest when he needs to. You know, he's getting to be an older player now. This is the OG of the Warriors, so to speak, although maybe Bogut might have changed that. But, you know, so I think he knows how to pick and choose his spots, knows when to get rest when he needs it, and he just doesn't look fatigued or old now. He looks like he's fresh, but if he needs a breather, it seems like Steve is willing to give him that.
Mark Spears, ESPN's the undefeated senior NBA writer here on 95.7 The Game. He is down in San Jose right now where they're playing the NCAA tournament. I want to bring it back to a guy that an awful lot of America got to meet yesterday. I know you've been on him way before then. So have I. I've been watching his highlight reel since December. Ja Morant. Look, I think we know who's going number one. I think I know who's going number two. I mean, Ja Morant looks like a bigger, stronger, better passing Allen Iverson.
You know, the thing that you hit the nail right there, man, the passing part, that's the thing that nobody talks about. You know, and us at ESPN, we always show his amazing dunk. And that dunk he had last night, yes, mm-hmm. that two-handed bash on the big fella, like guards aren't supposed to do that. You're not supposed to jump off of 2 feet and dunk on a 6'10 guy with two hands, right? Maybe you catch him with one, but not with two. So that just shows you how great an athlete he is. But actually, the night before, I had dinner with Popeye Jones, who also is from Murray State, and we marveled about his passing. This guy had 10 assists for Murray State. What if he played at Duke? What if he played at Kentucky? What if he played at LSU? Shout out to LSU Tigers. What if he played at those schools? Like, what would his assist be? And no one else in the country averaged over 8 assists. So he makes people better. Yes, he's a great athlete. Yes, he's spectacular. But to me, the best thing about him is his ability to pass the ball. And when he plays with some NBA guys next year, he's going to make their lives a lot better.
Well, Mark, what's the NBA comp for him? Because I'm looking at a guy who sees the floor like Jason Kidd, although Jason was one of the best to ever do it. I also see the bounce of Stevie Franchise, but he's got a little, like, you know, Buddy Hield kind of a push shot jumper. What kind of player do you comp him to in the NBA?
I'm not going to say Westbrook because he passes better, you know. That's a hard one, man, because there's not too many point guards that have the athleticism that he has. So that's a really good one.
How about this?
Usually with that athleticism, you're not worrying about passing the ball to anybody. So maybe he's just a new guy who gets players that fall more in love with passing the ball. I mean, and he has to improve his shot. It's not a broken shot. It's not a great shot, but it will get better. He kind of shoots in front of his face. So he was really, really close to not even being in March Madness. if they didn't win that conference tournament, Belmont would have been in, and they probably would have been in the NIT, and maybe only the people that watched them on ESPN Plus and then Murray, Kentucky, and OVC followers would have paid attention to him. But I'm glad he's in the NCAA tournament, because now the whole nation gets to see somebody that's truly special, and, you know, only a guy named Zion is probably going to push him back in the draft.
How about this? Ja Morant reminds me of who we wanted John Wall to be.
Wow.
Not quite John, you know what I'm saying? It's who we wanted John Wall to be.
He's not doing the Dougie?
No Dougies. Mark, always great to talk to you, man. I got to get this in while I can, because in 90 seconds it won't be true anymore, because Oregon's going to beat Wisconsin down at SAP. That is a home game for the Ducks. The Big Ten, for at least 90 seconds, is 6-0 in this tournament so far. They're about to go to 6-1. If Ohio State wins tonight, that's 7 teams in the round of 32, which would be the most the Big Ten has ever put into the round of 32 in a single tournament. So let's have that happen.
Hey, hold on. Let me throw this at you. UC Irvine is the only school from California left in the tournament.
Wow. That's sad. That's just sad.
Yeah. Hey, Berkeley, Stanford, get your acts together. Jeez, USC, UCLA, do something. San Diego, come on.
If the Anteaters lost today, there'd be nobody from California left in this tournament.
Well, at least we got you in this tournament. You're from California. Mark, thanks a lot, man. Good to talk to you, buddy.
Always a pleasure, bro.
Always a pleasure with Mark Spears. Thank you so much. By the way, Steve Kerr, speaking of always a pleasure, he's coming up at 5, and he's brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full-service banking, no compromises. All that's around the corner. And so is my answer to this question. Hey, Damon, let's say that was your kid out there getting chewed out by Izzo. You cool with that? What do you think?
Now, back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Steve Kerr is coming up at 5 o'clock, and it looks like we've got a little load management to discuss with Coach Kerr. Coming back from this commercial break, Gianna has found a tweet from who exactly?
This looks like Warriors on NBC Sports Bay Area. So apparently Steph Curry's getting a night of rest. The Warriors host the Mavs tomorrow night, and the two-time MVP will not take the floor. That's according to the NBA's official injury report. Andrew Bogut and Sean Livingston will also be out for rest.
So rest in Bogut, rest in Livingston,
and Curry,
who was banged around quite a bit last night. A little rest for him. Look, I don't have a problem with it. I really don't. And hopefully the Warriors got enough talent out there with the remaining. I mean, look, Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant should be enough to win an awful lot of games. So no plans change. Beating the Dallas Mavericks is a part of tomorrow night. I don't care if Luka's in town or not.
Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah.
Hallelujah.
But it kind of hurts my mojo. I was thinking about going tomorrow.
I don't know now.
Warrior basketball without Steph Curry doesn't feel right. But that guy, if he wants to take a night off, no problem there. Butcher Boy Joe Shasky along with us today. That's a little disappointing. Hopefully they're all back out on the court Sunday when you're what, bringing your niece?
Yeah. I mean, selfishly, I want to see them there. A lot of people that don't get opportunities to go in the postseason, or maybe this might be their last pilgrimage to Oracle, they want to see the guys play. We understand there's a greater cause, you know, trying to win the championship. But again, selfishly, I would like to see Steph Curry out there on Sunday night against the Pistons. So rest up, get better, and hopefully you're in the lineup on Sunday.
That'd be great. Meanwhile, somewhere, Lars is still talking during last night's game.
That was the longest interview.
I swear to God, I thought Lars was going to get podium time in the postgame.
Enter Sandman.
I really did. I thought that he was going to be I thought he was the third man on the broadcasting crew. I thought he was going to go up there with Tim Roy and do the rest of the season with him.
Enter Sandman.
There was an awful lot of Lars on that broadcast last night.
Oh, that was pretty good. Some of the acts have been announced this week. Do you like the acts that have been announced? Do you think it's not enough of a sample size to make judgments yet? Because it leaves me wanting a little more.
Okay, so a little more certainly coming. I mean, it's not like the building's only going to be open for a week or two. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of great names coming through. And if you're saying, you know, where is the flavor coming from? Where's the flavor tour right now that you want to see coming through?
Well, I just want to see Santana. You know, selfishly the local boy, San Francisco native. Santana rocks hard.
That's a possibility. Yeah. I wouldn't rule that out.
But don't you think the Warriors probably have already approached him? Like, how would you not ask Carlos Santana?
Good point.
He has played there. I guarantee you they've already approached Carlos about playing an NBA Finals National Anthem, which he came out and rocked with his wife a couple years ago.
Last
year. That was great. Whenever you get a chance to see Carlos Santana play the guitar, I strongly suggest you take it.
Absolutely. I just don't want Train. That's what I'm getting at. Like, no more Train. Right? Am I the only one?
No, you're not the only one. No.
No, no love for Train.
Train.
Phony San Franciscans.
You know, Maroon 5's from San Jose. Well, keep them there. Keep them there. Seriously. I do not need any Maroon 5.
No shirtless Adam Levine?
No. I would rather see shirtless Phil Collins.
Everyone just keep your shirts on. How about that? Everyone just keep your shirts on.
Phil Collins, he takes his shirt off and across his chest, he's got the word divorce tattooed.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that savage divorce back in the day. But look, Phil, look, I was saying yesterday, it feels like Phil Collins is easy, low-hanging fruit to make fun of.
Mm-hmm.
If you were standing on the sidewalk and Phil Collins was on a balcony and dropped all of his hits on you, you'd be crushed to death.
Dude, how many rappers have sampled his hits? Tons.
I don't know.
Oh, but, well, I would say at least a half dozen, if not more.
Sure. Okay.
DMX being one of them.
Nice. Yeah, look, I got no problem. I think the Metallica thing's very cool to start.
Of course.
Yeah.
Even, with the symphony, with San Francisco Symphony.
Enter Sandman.
That moment.
You just saw him at AT&T. They rock pretty hard, right?
And let me tell you, Lars, for all the Napster jokes that you might have, when he comes out and just starts sound checking his drum kit, you can feel your rib cage rattle.
That's cool.
Like, that guy, his drum kit is turned up loud.
Enter Sandman.
And it's kind of awesome. Like, you cannot, I don't care who you are. When I went, the last time I saw him, no, the second to last time I saw Metallica, because I saw him at City Center when they played the Salesforce thing.
Oh, yeah, that wasn't too long ago.
Basically, Metallica is Salesforce's house band. Like, whenever Benioff says, we need a band, Metallica shows up. It's fantastic.
Must be nice.
When we went to the tribute for the fires up north,
mm-hmm,
at AT&T Park, formerly known as, and it was Dave Matthews Band, it was the Grateful Dead, and then it was Metallica.
Yeah.
And in the row, there was a guy in his 60s. He and his wife were there clearly as former professional hippies to see what was left of the Grateful Dead. The Grateful Dead played, and they were getting up to go. And I had started, let's just say, I sparked up a conversation with him.
Nicely done.
Okay. It's legal.
Absolutely. I sparked up a conversation with him. So by the time the Dead were exiting, you know, I'm like, oh, you're not going, are you? He's like, yeah, my wife and I don't care about Metallica. We're not hard rockers. And I was like, look, even though you don't like Metallica, in the history of heavy metal music, it probably doesn't get better than this, and you should stick around for at least the first two songs just so you can say you saw it. Like, it's officially worth your musical curiosity to sit around and catch a little Metallica instead of just leaving before they go. When Metallica was encoring, they were still there, like lighters
Love
in
it.
The air.
Nice.
I mean, they were just all about it, and I think they encored with
Enter Sandman.
And needless to say, it was a hit. It was great. I mean, you can't sleep on Metallica. You just can't.
Did Mariano Rivera come out after that?
No, he did not.
Okay.
But he was unanimous.
Enter Sandman.
That's all that really matters.
I love that soundbite. Who doesn't love Metallica? That'll be a fun show. That's a good way to start off Chase Center.
And
for sure.
With the symphony.
Yeah. And it's an iconic show from 20 years ago.
San Francisco.
And they're local. They're legit local. Like, they've set roots here. Everybody has a Lars story.
Right. And look, as far as the Chase Center rollout goes, I like the Black Keys. I don't have a problem there. But yeah, I mean, they need something to appeal other than to just like the pop side. Like, they do need some flavor coming soon. And I think that they're going to have it. No doubt about it. You know, if Huey Lewis in the news is the next announcement, I could see why people would be like, really? Seriously? Yeah. Come on.
That'd be on brand.
By the way,
more announcements.
I love
are coming
Huey Lewis
today,
in the news.
So.
Me too. He was just at Pebble.
He's great.
So is it 4 o'clock? We're going to get the latest announcements.
I think
we're about 4 minutes away from learning who the last
Yes, they have
announcement
like a presser
of the week will be
coming out at 4. So
it's about time San Francisco had a world class venue for music, though, as well as a basketball venue. But you know, all the teams that have won state championship have had to go up to the state capitol up in Arco. It used to be Arco; that was the big spot that you wanted to play. So now you have a legitimate arena locally. I mean, we've needed this forever.
By the way, you know what I think should happen? The night that they're opening up Chase Center, Train should book the Cow Palace. Just play at the Cow Palace.
No one from that area would show up. I'm from that side of the city.
By the way,
trust me, their palate would not be loving Train.
Ocean Ave, keep
yeah,
it real, baby.
Ingleside, 94112.
My side. 888-957-9570. Damon, let's say that were your kid getting chewed out by Tom Izzo. You cool with that? I'm the guy probably writing Tom Izzo a thank you letter the next day. Are you kidding? Well, first of all, if your kid is going to play for Tom Izzo and any of that surprises you at any other time in your kid's scholarship career, you just didn't know what you were walking into. You send your kid to Michigan State to play for a disciplinarian. That's what you get, and I would absolutely embrace that. Raising my kid not to be soft is going to be part and parcel of the parental campaign I'm about to wage. You know, here, I mean, I want a kid who is incredibly cool, incredibly thoughtful, and no sissy at all. You cannot be a wuss in life. You can't be afraid of the big bad wolf.
Well, I think there's just so much to this. Like, the bad players don't get screamed at like that and get put on blast. Like, the coach just doesn't care enough because they know that they're yelling at someone who's not good enough to make the adjustments or to actually have an impact on the team because they're the 12th, 13th, 14th man on the bench. When you are this good, you're going to get doled out a level of criticism that's appropriate to your talent level. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. You don't yell at the kid that doesn't matter.
Exactly.
You yell at the kid who does.
Exactly.
And it's almost a compliment. You know, it really is. It's just, it's amazing how it feels like there's an entire generation that just wants to avoid anything that could be seen as adversity or an uncomfortable moment in life. And if that's how you are handled between ages 0 and the completion of your schooling, whether that be high school, college, whatever, before you step into the real world, whenever that moment is, if you don't know how to be embarrassed, if you don't know how to take one on the chin, if you don't know how to brush yourself off, get up and try again, you ain't gonna make it.
No, this is about building callus, Damon. Like, that's part of life, especially at that particular age. You need to learn to adjust to criticism. You need to learn to evolve on the fly, and you need to have respect for authority. I think there's a lot of lessons that can be learned here. And again, look who the source is. The source isn't some random crazy lunatic AAU coach. It's Tom Izzo. I think he has the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
The players support him. I mean, one of them even said, don't make it a bigger deal than what it actually was. It's part of basketball. And I think if the players are okay with this, then as a parent, you kind of have to be like, okay, if you feel comfortable with it, you might not like it, but it is what it is.
Look, and it's going to pay off eventually. Your kid survives today. He's going to wake up tougher tomorrow. And that used to be known as a good thing. Welcome to 4 o'clock, by the way.
You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, a radio.com sports station.
I got another guy here saying, Damon, I yell at my little league players all the time, ages 8 to 11. That's what coaches do. Well, hold on. Because if you're screaming and airing out 8 and 11-year-olds, maybe you shouldn't be coaching 8 and 11-year-olds. Because when you're 8 or 11 years old, you know what really doesn't matter today? The outcome. The outcome doesn't matter today. You're still at the everyone here gets an at-bat stage of the development of those. You know, love of sports should be fostered more than the razor sharp execution of sports at that age. Come on.
There's a level of discernment is what I would say, because when you do have 20, 9, 10, 11 year olds on a field simultaneously, trust me, it's very difficult to get their attention. So I do things like stand military style. Like, I make them all go shoulder to shoulder so they're not goofing off. Because if you put a bunch of boys together in a group or girls at any age, they're going to start goofing around. And you want to make sure no one gets hurt. I think especially in baseball with the bats being swung, baseballs being thrown around, it can be very dangerous. And I think that's part where a lot of the helicopter parents, when they're observing, they start to realize, like, oh my goodness, this could be a war zone because balls are flying all over the place. Kids are taking cuts. And if there isn't control, then, yeah, someone can get hurt.
Oh, so, you know, if you want to yell at a kid for not, you know, for doing a bat flip.
Yeah, that's different.
You know, because you're about to hit little Billy in the on deck circle. Okay, that's let me get your full attention and scare some truth into you moment. If you're airing out a kid because his lead off of first was too much and he took second when you didn't send him, now you need to be reeled in.
Oh, dude, I see those guys every week. That's why we have the CYO Chronicles on our late night show, where I go over the crazy people, and sometimes I'm guilty of this, but the crazy people in coaching that I see that do it wrong. They just don't get it, as we like to say.
Look, I can remember in my mind right now vividly the crazy little league parent of my childhood. And it wasn't Mr. Manello. It wasn't his son who played on my team, Christopher Manello. You had to look out for Mrs. Manello.
Oh, yes.
Mrs. Manello came with apples and F-words. Like, she would show up to support the team and also air out the very first umpire who called a ball when it should have been a strike. I mean, this woman was at game one of the ALCS at every single Little League game she ever attended.
There's always one parent.
No more than them these days. And that's why at all the little gyms now, they have a sign that says, the game is for the kids, not for the adults. Please recognize the coaches are volunteers. The referees are only getting paid a small fraction of what you think the NBA refs are getting, for example. It's parents are pretty crazy. It's not the kids. It's the parents. They're delusional.
888-957-9570. The Sarah Padre giving us a call from San Mateo. What's up?
Hey, guys. Love the show. Thanks for the time. I will be at that Metallica show. Cashed in birthday, Father's Day, Christmas.
Awesome. Have a great time.
All in one. Real quick. So I have
Enter Sandman.
Continue.
I have the honor and privilege to coach a group of 14 and 15 year olds, basically eighth graders and freshmen, in football, and it's contact football, and it's a mix of kids from Hillsboro that have very comfortable lives, and it's a kids from the inner city of San Francisco on the deepest, darkest parts of the Tenderloin, and.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.